Barrett, I hope you're doing well. I can almost smell college football.
It is right around the corner. This time, a week from now, a week and a day from now, will be there'll be real games happening, which is still sort of weird to say because it seems like only yesterday bowl season was happening.
And it's been one of those off seasons that we've had a lot of fun because we've had a chance to talk about some of the things that we've wanted to talk about. But it's not been one of those storyline-filled off-seasons like what we've covered in the past. And there was still some out there, but it's now the conversations are flowing, as we say, right now in the media world. I mean, you have to pick and choose what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, are you saying that you got a little tired of talking about autograph scandals last August?
Well, I don't know. Johnny Manziel, I feel like I need to owe him a little bit of money because he made a lot of shows here in Tuscaloosa, which continues. And, I mean, we've had a lot of scandals in college football and unique things to talk about. This season was not like that this offseason.
No, it wasn't. But I tell you, Johnny Manziel, he provided some good show content, that's for sure. He produced shows for himself.
Yeah, I'd like to send him a check or send him something just as a courtesy. But let's talk some SEC.
Flipboard.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to send him a behavior sheet to how to behave as an NFL quarterback. But let me ask you. I mean, you take that offensive? I mean, what's your thoughts about flipping the bird to the opposing team?
Johnny, I think he probably heard a lot of stuff on the sidelines and let one thing get the best of him. And you know, it happens to a lot of people. I mean, it's not uncommon for competitors to let their emotions get the best of them, in a moment. You know, you've seen people do the throat slash. You've seen people, like even the best people do the – I can't even remember what Iron Bowl. I guess it was the Iron Bowl. In 2010, there was the talk where Greg McElroy may or may not have flipped off the fans or something after a touchdown. You saw players do the throat slash all the time, you know. Whatever.
Well, yeah, T.J. Yeldon do it to the Texas A&M fans last year in college.
That's right. I wasn't even thinking about that, yeah. But that's right. That happened. I mean, T.J. Yeldon's a good guy. Whatever.
Sure he is. Sure he is.
I mean, people get the emotions get the best of people at times, and especially like when you're a young man, especially in Johnny Manziel's case, a kid just out of college and really still be in college, you're still a little immature, and you know if. Sometimes your emotions get the best of you. It's hard to tune everything out. It's hard for me to tune everything out, and I'm 34 years old, so it happens. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Does Alabama need a quarterback to be able to play with the elite of the SEC? Because so far out of this fall camp, Alabama and Nick Saban is not getting the quarterback play that they thought they would going into this fall camp. Do they need an all-star quarterback to get them through the SEC to be among the elite of the elite?
No. To be the elite, Alabama needs a caretaker. You know, I think the term game manager was used as a knock against A.J. McCarron for basically the entire entity of his career, and that's unfair because the most important job a quarterback has is to manage the game. Everything else on top of that is a bonus. If you can manage the game, you're going to win a lot of football games. You know, I thought A.J. was a great quarterback. Yeah, he was a game manager, but I thought he was a gunslinger too, and showed that at times when he needed to. But if he was just managing a game, that's fine. They need somebody that can do that. And, you know, yeah, the quarterback at Alabama has a ton of weapons. And yeah, all it really has to do is turn it around, and then a lot of the offense will click after that running game is established. They just need a guy to make smart decisions, not the big decision, the smart decision. So they don't need an all-star. They need a game manager. And as long as one of those guys can be the game manager by week four when Florida rolls into town, they'll be fine. You know, I think Alabama's, got a little bit of a luxury that other teams like LSU don't have where, Alabama can have real-time auditions on the field for three games. And they probably should do that at this point. If there's no clear-cut winner at this point, that's probably what they should do anyway. So it's not as big of a deal as people are making out to be, but if no game manager emerges, then yes, that is a problem. That's a big problem.
Is West Virginia that bad?
Yeah, they're not very good. They are not a very good football team. They've got some decent running backs, Russell Shell, and then a couple other guys. They can run a little bit, and that offense is Dana Holgorsen is a talented enough offensive coach where he's going to at least put stress on Alabama's defense, stress that Alabama's defense probably needs to have so it learns a little bit about itself. But nothing more than that. They don't play a lick of defense. They don't have, you know, they don't have the type of roster that can be consistently good throughout, you know, 60 minutes against a team like Alabama. It is going to be an ugly game for West Virginia fans. You know, it's, on the flip side, I think you'll know a little bit about Alabama because, you know, whoever the quarterback is, that is still a, you know, a big situation, a big game in a big setting. And, you know, there may be some adversity. There may be times where Alabama's offensive line has protection breakdown. There are some new pieces. So, you know, how those quarterbacks respond to that those situations in that setting, I think, is really important because then you'll have a good idea of who's the man.
Alabama was number two in the Associated Press poll, and I want to get to that in a couple of seconds. But, you know, if I gave you a recipe how to bake cookies, now I don't expect you to bake cookies. Neither can I unless there's some kind of, like, you know, automatic that you just put them on a cookie tray and throw it on 350, and then sometimes even I can screw that up. But I look at the offensive side of the ball. If I told you this, you lose your number one possession wide receiver, Mr. Clutch, Kevin Norwood. You've got a new offensive coordinator. You've got a new quarterback, a new system. You know, that's a recipe for disaster with a shaky offensive line when you had two of your veterans that left early. That is a recipe for disaster, and it's amazing that we're even talking Alabama in this top five, and I know it's based on talent and some by default, but that is not a recipe for success when you really get to thinking about it.
No, it's not. You know, and I think, you know, that's the reason why Alabama's not number one. You know, I don't think they're number two either. I think I have them at number four in our poll. But, you know, I think it's not a recipe for success. It is a recipe for disaster. But the thing with Alabama is disaster for Alabama, the way Nick Saban currently has that roster built, is 10 wins. So, you know, at that point, you're still talking about a team that's competitive within the division and at least, you know, competing for a national, you know, in the national title discussion in November. So, you know, yeah, it's not a great recipe for success. I agree. I think a lot of other people would say the same exact thing, that, you know, Alabama's problems and the holes they have to fill are not good and really would present problems. And they are presenting problems at Alabama. But it's a little bit of a different set of rules for Alabama because of the way Nick Saban has that roster built and the staff that he has in place. So, I agree with you, but, you know, I think the definition of disaster changes for Alabama, and in Alabama's case, disaster still 10 wins, and that's pretty darn good.
Well, 11 wins was a disaster because I feel like I've hosted a funeral home for the last 200-plus days. I mean, that's the way it feels.
It really wasn't that bad.
Well, it is to Alabama fans, and I think that's where the expectations of the program. I remember A.J. McCarron and Nick Saban talking about it. You know, we created this monster. We're going to have to deal with it. And maybe it's unfair for us to put that amount of pressure on these younger players because this is a young team. You will lose 50% of the starters. Barrett, I want to go around by default because I think Alabama's there, as you put them at number four, by default, because you're looking at other teams in the SEC. Is this going to be a good year for the SEC with so much experience lost last year?
I don't think it's going to be a great year. I think it'll be a good year. I think, you know, I picked Georgia to win the SEC title. I think they'll be a really good football team. And I think they'll be a team that is, you know, a legitimate national title contender. And I have them in a national title game losing to Oklahoma. You know, but there is not, I wouldn't say that there's a ton of extreme top-end talent. And the teams in the SEC, I think, are all really good. Like the top three, four teams are all pretty darn good, but they're not, you know, by and large better than anybody else. Florida State is still really good. I think Oregon's going to be great. UCLA is going to be great. Oklahoma, I think, is a really good team. So, yeah, I think, yeah, it's down in the sense that the SEC is, the teams are not, you know, far and away better than everybody else in you know, in college football. But I think the top-end teams are still right in that discussion and really will present difficult matchups no matter, you know, what the matchup is. So, you know, this is not 2011 where LSU and Alabama were light years ahead of everybody else. This is not 2012 where Alabama and Georgia, you know, Alabama did and Georgia probably would have stomped a hole in Notre Dame. That's not where this is right now. It's more like, you know, a group of seven or eight teams that are really good and several SEC teams being in that group.
Looking at the AP, who's the most overrated team out of the SEC? You've got eight teams represented. Who is the most overrated team in the SEC?
South Carolina. I don't love South Carolina. You know, I think they're sort of being ranked off reputation, and that's a compliment to Steve Spurrier in that program, because think about where they were a decade ago. But you know, you talk about recipes for disaster. South Carolina, three new defensive linemen, including replacing Jadeveon Clowney. Then a completely new secondary where they're relying on two and probably three true freshmen, where Bryson Williams is probably playing out of position at corner rather than safety. That, you know, South Carolina is, I don't know why people love that team. I think they're a good team. I think they're an 8-win team. They may be a little better than that, but to be a national title contender, I just don't see it. That defense scares me. The linebackers are good, but they're not great. They have nobody up front that they can trust. JT Surratt's okay. And then the secondary is the same thing. Nobody you can trust. So I don't know why people love that team. I think South Carolina is pretty overrated. I think they're at best the third best team in the SEC East.
All right, I didn't prepare you for this, but I know that you're probably writing an article. I've already read the SEC West article that you can read on the BleacherReport.com as Barrett breaks down the important storylines, the quarterback battle of Alabama. He picks Auburn to win the SEC West. We see that you've got Ole Miss at number four. Let's go to the SEC East, because we are picking that tonight. That's part of the contest that we're doing. And if you don't want to release it, I understand the integrity of the website. Can you give us a little hint who you're going with? 1, 2, 3, and you don't have to if it's something that's coming out in the coming days.
Well, it's coming out tomorrow, but I mean, I can say it. I mean, I've said it before. So, I'm going to have Georgia at number one. I think they're 12-0, 13-0, beating Auburn in the SEC championship game as the number one seed in the playoff. I think Georgia's really, really good this year. They fixed their problem. They hired a teacher at defensive coordinator, and that was the biggest problem. They were not properly taught. They've got weapons everywhere. I really like Hudson Mason at quarterback, like all of the other weapons that he has around him. I have Florida at number two in the East.
Are you
losing
serious,
to Georgia? 9-3. I think Florida losing to Georgia in the cocktail party, losing to Florida State obviously at the end of the year, and then I have them losing to Alabama in Tuscaloosa. Florida, to me, you know, their offense doesn't need a Malzahn-like turnaround. They need a sort of decent turnaround, because their defense is going to be one of the best in the SEC. That schedule, to me, is not as daunting as people are making it out to be. Missouri's not going to be very good. I don't love LSU. Both of those games are at home. Both of those games have incredibly unstable offenses going up against Florida's defense. I like Florida a lot. Then I have South Carolina at three as well, or at three with a 9-3 record, but losing to Florida in Gainesville to lose that tiebreaker. South Carolina, I just don't love.
Wow.
South Carolina at 8-4. I'm sorry, losing to Clemson as well.
And you have Florida 9-3, but Georgia winning it all as the number one seed in the college football playoffs.
Yes.
Barrett, going out on a limb, my friend. Going out on a limb. Less than a week,
yep.
You and I will be having unlimited Chick-fil-A sandwiches inside the Georgia Dome. How many can you eat, Barrett?
Oh, well, if they keep bringing them out, I can eat all of them.